Conventional wisdom holds that our leading universities are hotbeds of liberal thought, with professors from the left dominating the faculties and indoctrinating students into their beliefs. But is that an accurate picture of academia today?
It's nice to hear how professors stand on things, but I don't believe they should try and beat their views into people.
I actually had one that was more conservative and one that was more liberal. It was funny because I had the classes back to back, so I'd have my conservative professor and then I went to my liberal professor.
Usually, like throughout like in a lecture, they'll put like little hidden messages here and there that makes their views known.
I'm Sarah McConnell, and this is With Good Reason. Later on today's show, Thomas Jefferson was steeped in the philosophy of the Enlightenment, yet he ran a plantation dependent on slave labor.
Using the wealth that slave labor created for him allowed him to live that lifestyle that he really wanted. He places his self-interest over something that he professes as an ideal.
But first, are American universities bastions of liberal bias that are unduly influencing the politics of their students? Today, an engaging debate between Bruce Smith and Daniel Klein, both of George Mason University. Daniel Klein is a professor of economics who says the nature of university hiring tends to favor those on the left. Taking the other side is Bruce Smith, a professor of public policy and co-author of Closed Minds, Politics and Ideology in American Universities. You've each done studies trying to gauge the self-identified liberals on college campuses. And what would you say the case is now, at this point in time, at American universities? Are we predominantly liberal? Bruce, you first.
Yes, I think there certainly is a predominance of liberals, but with a number of sprightly and interesting conservatives sprinkled in the mix.
And is that primarily in certain departments and not others?
Yeah, I think we're talking about the so-called value-laden departments. I don't think we debate whether there's a conservative electrical engineer or a high-energy physicist. I think if you look at the issue historically, you get a slightly different flavor. In the 19th century, for example, professors were overwhelmingly Republican and very conservative, as were the students. But it wasn't until the New Deal that you begin to get a very definite leftward shift among the professoriate. You know, looking over time, there hasn't been, I think, that drastic a shift. When I was an undergraduate from 53 to 57, no question that my political science department was about two-thirds Democratic, one-third Republican. I remember my dad saying, "Well, son, there are a lot of liberals over there. You got to watch out." But you get a good education. And I did indeed get a good education.
But if it was two-thirds to one-third, it's certainly not that any longer in political science. And in all the humanities and social sciences, it's collectively probably more like 7-1 in terms of Democrat voters versus Republican voters. I think there is definitely a strong Democratic domination.
We got a 4-1, Dan, in our survey. But let's stipulate, I think, as the lawyers say, that there are many more Democrats and liberals. Now, I don't particularly like that myself. I consider myself a conservative, and I think we in our book suggest that universities ought to go a little harder to try to recruit some conservatives.
So, Dan, what do you say? What is the harm? Why should we care if there is a pronounced liberal-leaning tilt on our nation's campuses?
Well, if Bruce calls himself a conservative, let me identify myself. I'm a libertarian. I'm pro-laissez-faire. I think we have far too much government intervention in our lives. And the point of view of libertarianism, if you will, I think is pretty systematically left out. If teachers aren't exposing students to this, that's a real shame. I mean, the good stuff isn't getting discussed. Well, even if students aren't being influenced by their professors or converted by their professors, they're not getting exposed to the really good stuff, the Adam Smith, the Friedrich Hayek, the Milton Friedman.
Let me agree and disagree with my colleague here. I think it's absolutely true and very regrettable that there is a kind of disdain and a dodging of real political engagement. But we want more political debate in universities, including debate of the sort that Dan has just called for, fundamental political ideas about the nature of legitimate authority and how government should be organized, and the classic works of political philosophy, which include the conservative thinkers.
Did there used to be more debate?
I think there was. I don't want to overstate the point, but a lot of my political science colleagues these days aren't much interested in politics. They've all become economists. They want to be scientists. They want to come out with laws. And they neglect the values and the real stuff of what political philosophy and political debate is.
I think there's certainly a lot of truth to that. There's been a specialization, a sort of professionalization. And I applaud Bruce and his co-authors for pointing out that the major issues are not so much that there's certain sort of extreme political radicals that are taking over. There's aspects of that in certain sorts of departments and programs, perhaps. I have to say, though, it's still true that your introductory courses in American history and Western civilization and economics and sociology and so on, I think are very often going to have what I would call a social democratic bent. I mean, not something radical, but sort of a center-left American framework, center-left sort of society as an organization that, you know, we participate in by voting, and it's, and the rules are sort of voluntary club rules that the government makes for us in a sort of benign way. I consider that a social democratic worldview. That's the term I use instead of liberal.
Well, to the extent that that's true, and I think probably it is true in a number of institutions, I deplore that as well. I think it's very unfortunate. But when you have a core curriculum, as we had at Columbia, we started out with the Greek philosophers and then the playwrights and the dramatists and the Bible, and there was a fixed curriculum. And you discussed these texts, and I think this was intellectually more stimulating and worthwhile to the students. Edward Said was a bitter foe of the core curriculum because it was, you know, dead white males, and it didn't feature post-colonial texts. The most modern text I think we wound up with was Virginia Woolf, sort of the dawn of the age of modernism.
Well, could it be that really what it is that we're in the midst of this great natural evolution as we mix in these additional points of view that were so neglected from before, and we'll settle down in the next lifetime. We'll have a new core curriculum, a new set of classics that will endure for a couple more lifetimes.
I don't expect any significant change, Sarah. I see the way that departmental politics work with majoritarian voting tends to perpetuate and indeed to expand any dominant view in a department. And furthermore, I think that each discipline, like history, political science, has become increasingly unified in a sort of nationwide academic pyramid, and that those pyramids have tended to go a certain way ideologically. And so you have a number of elite programs producing a large number of PhDs, who are considered the top young people in the field, and then all those PhDs from the schools at the top of the pyramid fill positions all the way down the pyramid in the history profession and so on. So I'm not that optimistic about making much difference at the colleges and universities.
Well, let me just ask you a few fundamentally simple questions, such as, do you two believe conservatives are discriminated against in faculty hiring?
I don't myself. And even the conservatives' respondents in our study did not regard themselves as being discriminated against. And it's not that there is overt discrimination, I think, against conservatives. Some of the conservatives are crybabies and don't really put them, they shun competing for these academic jobs, which I think is a big mistake.
I think, and here I'll be a little bit critical, Bruce, I think your book and your colleague's book might be minimizing that a bit. One problem with your survey is you're asking the people who have survived the process if they've been discriminated against, and you're not asking the people who have not survived the process, the people who haven't been hired or haven't been retained. you're asking the college faculty, have you been discriminated against? But they're the survivors. They're not the ones who have been weeded out.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The very liberal or very conservative sort are regarded as somewhat suspect. And it's better to have a bland, safely tenurable candidate, especially when jobs are scarce. So it's kind of the safe professional who gets hired.
That's one of the problems in this, is that one reason people sort out of an academic track is that they anticipate having to falsify their views, having to hide what they think, having to conform to modes of discourse or projects or purposes they don't really feel connected to. If you expect to face discrimination, you're going to sort yourself out before the fact. Consider the claim that FDR and the New Deal prolonged the Great Depression, but it's very hard to develop that case in the so-called good journals, in the prestigious journals, particularly in history or political science, but even in economics, I would say. They're not directly ideologically discriminated against for thinking that FDR prolonged the Great Depression, but their work doesn't get into the so-called good journals. And so they don't have the same credentials, and so they don't get the job or the promotion. Now, is that discrimination? It's a very deep institutionalized form of discrimination.
So what do you think? Should there be, ironically, some sort of affirmative action in hiring on college campuses for non-leftist faculty in order to improve our numbers?
Well, I will shock people by saying that I don't find that objectionable. I think the great universities really do it. I mean, Harvard, when it wants to hire a conservative, it goes out and hires a conservative. And if it was important to have affirmative action for racial or feminine scholars, why not sort of hire a few conservatives with a little thumb on the scale or a little finger on the scale?
I think I'd like to dodge that question by saying that I would hope...
The more prudent man.
I would hope that the people... from the bottom up, that is sort of within the departments hiring themselves, you know, who are hiring, wanting to have more, if you like, conservatives, classical liberals, libertarians, non-lefts, whatever. I mean, I kind of like the aspiration, but it's a question of what it means in implementation.
Yeah, I think I want to recant slightly there, Sarah, and say that I don't want affirmative action if it's state legislatures or something imposing this on universities. Main thing is I'd like faculty departments to bring on people who are interesting, have challenging views, provocative views. They're not afraid of politics. And some of them should be conservative. Some of them maybe should be radicals of one stripe or another.
Most of the liberal-leaning bias, as we call it, is in certain fields. English? What? Sociology? Anthropology?
Bias in our study, one of the things we looked at is there bias in the classroom? Students don't see it. Professors don't see it in other departments. And even state legislatures that have looked into the matter don't see it. So that if it isn't seen by faculty, students, or legislators, the chances are it's not there.
Dan, do you agree with that? That students do not see bias in the classroom and report being comfortable with what little they may see?
I know that's the general thrust of these recent studies. I have read them. They influence me. I'm kind of surprised they didn't find more. It could be that students have been pretty well immunized. They've entered college with their parents telling them, listen, you're going to have all those professors who vote Democratic telling you this, and you know, you should take it. You should put it through those lenses.
I would like to get more politics into the university. In a certain sense, I don't want people peddling partisan indoctrination or, you know, in a very shallow fashion. If you're talking about a political issue, you have to get into it with great depth. And political issues are very complicated. If you're going to do this, you should do it seriously. I think there is a kind of notion which is part of the kind of zeitgeist that all capitalism has failed and globalization has removed everything. You know, this is just sort of political sloganeering. This requires not the assumption that we've got to have more government doing everything, but a more intellectual depth.
Daniel Klein is a professor of economics at George Mason University. Bruce Smith is a professor of public policy at George Mason and co-author of Closed Minds, Politics and Ideology in American Universities.